Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman. It is Azure Friday. We're here with Brady Gastner, and you're going to show me about API apps and something called Swagger. That's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Someone named a technology Swagger.
That's a wonderful name, right?
I just wanted to make sure that it was real.
Yeah, and I don't really know why they called it that. I could chat with Tony Tam, the original creator of it. Mads and I actually got on the Swagger 2.0 working group, along with our buddy Guang, who I think's also been on the show. We get on the Swagger working group because they were working on version 2.0 of it. So we had some ideas, we had some things we wanted to do. We knew that API apps were coming out. So we started talking to Tony. He said, let's get you in the working group. What happened next was pretty much awesome. Mads, who, as you know, has a modicum of OCD.
Mads Christensen.
And he loves JSON schema. He actually went through the process of creating the JSON schema for the Swagger 2.0 spec. They changed it around a little bit, but he actually got it started, and Mads is cited in the actual working group announcement for the stuff. Shortly after that, SmartBear, a company that makes really great testing software.
SmartBear is the name of the company?
Yeah, SmartBear is the name of the company.
The company that uses Swagger.
Yeah. They actually adopted Swagger. I don't really know a lot of the politics of it, but SmartBear actually acquired Swagger, and now they actually own it, and they are keeping it open.
But Swagger, just to be clear, because we've already gotten a minute or two into the talk, one knows what it is. It's WSDL.
It's WSDL.
For JSON.
Yes, it's WSDL for REST APIs.
Probably why they called it Swagger, because it's better to say that than WSDL for REST.
That's right. And it's not the only thing out there. You've got Swagger, you've got RAML and YAML, and actually now the Swagger 2.0 stuff will go back and forth between YAML pretty easily. YAML is a human-readable markup language.
YAML is the generic format. I'm sure that you're saying that there's a description language that's written in YAML.
Right. There's a description language that's written in YAML. I think it's not yet another markup.
Well, YAML is yet another markup
language. And then I think I think MuleSoft actually owns RAML, which is like the REST flavor of YAML. We decided to go with Swagger because we saw that it had a lot of adoption in the community. We see a lot of other non.NET platforms using it. Felt like it was pretty ubiquitous, so we went ahead and partied on it. Now, what I'm going to show you really quickly today is a couple of sample API apps that I actually already have deployed.
Okay.
I'll show you where they are in GitHub. They're in the Azure Samples org in GitHub.
Now, these are .NET apps,
yes.
But you can do these in any
language that speaks
the web. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
Swagger is not a .NET thing.
That's exactly right. And we actually have, I'll go out to that org real quickly, and I'll do a quick little search. Apps. If you look in the Azure Samples org, you'll actually see that we have two .NET samples, these guys right here. We have a kind of a customization of Swashbuckle, which I'm going to talk about today. We have a Node example, and we have a Java example. And all those examples actually use Swagger. They actually all emit Swagger. My good buddy Panos, I'm not going to try to say his last name, Panos actually built the Node implementation and figured out a way to enable Swagger inside the Node stuff. David Justice, who's going to be on the show, I think, with us later on, he's going to be talking a little bit more about what the AutoREST team is doing. And AutoREST is a way that we actually generate client code in Node, in Java, in .NET. We're working with Microsoft OpenTech to get it done for Ruby. And then we're also working with a couple of teams to get it done for Python. And I think David might have a Go announcement.
It really, the future definitely is a repeat of the past. We are doing markup and strongly typed clients, not necessarily strongly typed clients, but generated clients based on contracts. It really all comes down to contracts.
Yeah, it does.
So Swagger is contracts for REST.
Swagger is contracts for REST. It's similar in, like you said, WSDL. It's very similar to WSDL. It's a little bit less verbose than WSDL. It's all written in JSON. We'll just go ahead and take a look at it.
Yeah, let's look at some.
So what I've got here is I've got this contacts list sample pulled up. And what we're actually doing to generate the Swagger on the fly is using a nice NuGet package called Swashbuckle. We worked with the author of Swashbuckle to get it included into the API apps template in VS 2013 and 2015. And we're actually customizing it a little bit in 2015, which you'll see in a moment. And what you do is you actually just reference it. You've got if I were to open up packages, you'd see Swashbuckle in there. And what it does is it drops in this swaggerconfig.cs file.
Go ahead and make those fonts larger?
Yeah, I can do that. It drops in this swaggerconfig file. And the author of it, a guy named Richie Morris, he actually does what a lot of our teams do at Microsoft. He puts really heavy documentation comments all throughout the Swagger config file so that you can actually see how to tweak it. He documents everything. Pretty much the only thing that you need to worry about in this file is this include XML comments, mm-hmm. which you'll see that I have a method get XML comments path, and I've just enabled the XML comment documentation file in my project. So it's going to drop the XML file into my folder.
So to be clear, this means that when you use the standard /// yep. format to document a method, mm-hmm. that XML comment flows all the way out to exactly. the RESTful comment and then shows up in the
exactly.
description. That this
exactly, okay. exactly. And then the other thing, and we actually comment this out in the API apps preview template, but you'll see that I have this enable Swagger UI method right here. That's actually going to pretty really pretty Swagger UI on top of my API app. So I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my Azure Fridays guy, and I'm going to open up my API app contact list. And what I'll do next is I'll just browse directly over to the contact list API app that happens to be running in my Azure subscription. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and click that URL. You'll see that I'm just going to go to the default URL. And I've got links at the top in this guy. I've already just put those links into the HTML.
Did you make this bootstrap here, or did it
Yeah, I did make that bootstrap. So apparently that URL is not interesting. That URL is tripping out on me. I'll run it locally. I'll just run this guy locally real quickly.
Would you say that anyone who is doing a RESTful web service now, who maybe even has one in production, but doesn't have Swagger, might want to add that and annotate their API?
I would definitely recommend that you at least consider it. And here's one of the reasons why. If I were to open up this Swagger UI, you're going to see that I have all the different XML comments that I've included, like you called out earlier. If I were to go into my actual web API controller right here, and hide all the erroneous windows, you'll see that I've documented every single one of these methods. So I've got get the list
Make
of contacts.
That larger,
oh yeah, sure. Sorry about that. You'll see that I've got get a specific contact. That's kind of decorated over my get by ID method.
But pieces of metadata that aren't easily described
right.
in XML, right. you add them as attributes.
You add them as attributes. And that's actually something that Richie added later on. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get that version of Swashbuckle in the API apps template in this particular release. In the next release of Visual Studio 2015, we're actually still going to be using 5.0.0. If you want to get these attributes, which Richie added after we started really using Swashbuckle.
Just update the package.
Yeah,
right?
Just update the package. You don't get all this stuff.
Very cool.
Eventually, we're going to take the new version. We just didn't have time to get it into this release. So we're going to get it in
but
there.
But certainly, I can always upgrade that myself.
That's exactly right. But to answer your question, I would definitely consider it. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why is if I were to expand this, I won't do that one.
Well, you're getting a nice, it's generating not
right.
just like docs, but it's made a little tester there,
right.
isn't it?
That this and this is actually all automatically generated. Like I said, the Node and Java implementations of this will do something very similar to this. What the Swagger authors did is they kind of encouraged everybody in the Swagger community. Mm-hmm. If you start using the JSON, try to put this UI actually on top of the JSON because it'll dynamically draw everything. So it actually gives you like a pretty simple little test guide. Now, if I were to select the URL and paste it in, here's our Swagger JSON. If we were to kind of expand this stuff and look at it individually, you'll see that I've got pass. And those paths actually point to my contacts. If I open this up, you'll see that I've got two verbs,
get
and post. Oh yeah, I could probably boost that.
Control plus, please. Sorry.
There we go. No worries. You'll see that I've got get here.
Okay.
And if I scroll down, you'll see that each operation has its own operation ID.
So it's paths, verbs, and then operations.
Yes, that's exactly right. And this is actually something, this is Swagger specific. This isn't something that Richie did or something that we did in our code. This is actually the way Swagger expects for these operations to be named. Mm-hmm. Later on, I'm going to show another example of how you can actually customize those operation IDs, because the default template that we released in 2013, sometimes you'll have two gets there, like two contact
underscore
get. Well,
if you had contacts that was a get,
right.
and then contacts that took some parameter that was a get, would you have overloading that would then conflict?
Yes. In the original implementation of it, what actually happens is if you have the two different gets, if the method name is get, what Richie does, he actually parties on the name of the action method. So if you have get and then you have get with an ID, it ends up being get. So there's a confliction, as Syed would say. So what you have to do is you have to customize that operation ID, and we've got new code in the new template that'll actually do that.
I see. So you basically override the name that Swagger creates.
Yep. Yeah.
And Azure App Service mm-hmm. and API apps understand this like at its core.
Yes.
Like if you have Swagger whether it be in .NET or whether it be in Node.
That's correct.
Like, we know about that, and
that's
that enables
exactly right.
that enables features like API management and logic apps and all these other
that's
things.
And
we're
going
to talk more about those.
Yeah,
things.
And we're going to talk more about that. And as Hanselman pointed out, over here in my portal, you'll see that I've got contact list and to-do list in this particular resource group. Over here, I've got API definition. I probably clicked on the metrics guy, which I want to get rid of that. Click on API definition, and you'll see that right here, we've actually interrogated that Swagger and shown you everything that you've got right here. And you'll see that over here, we've got logic app trigger. If for whatever reason I actually enabled this API with a logic app pull or push trigger, you would actually see which triggers were enabled with that Swagger right there. And then in the logic app designer, you can actually customize that Swagger and figure out how the ends connect. So
cool.
That's kind of cool.
So this is Swagger 101.
Yep.
Very frantic tour around Swagger. We're going to slow it down and go into a couple of additional videos. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at customizing that output in Swagger and then consuming these things with Autorest.
Exactly.
We're learning all about this stuff here on Azure Friday.